This episode of Stars and Characters is sponsored by Jet's Toy Hut at ToyHut.com. Jet's Toy Hut is committed to being the place for all things Star Wars today and for years to come. Jet's Toy Hut offers Star Wars collectibles for every collector, from the seasoned veteran collectors to anyone just starting their collection today. And every purchase from Jet's Toy Hut is backed by their no-questions-asked return policy. Shop with confidence and browse their huge selection of Star Wars collectibles today at ToyHut.com. That's HUTT.com. And follow them on Facebook at Facebook.com/Jet's Toy Hut.
I'm oiled up, so we better get the party started.
I'm oiled.
This is Star Wars in Character, the podcast that takes a closer look at some of the characters in the Star Wars universe you probably never noticed. Backstories, histories, and details you never knew, wanted to know, or ever need to know. Now here are this week's panelists of Star Wars in Character.
Today we are talking about Bonna Bremu.
You're already laughing.
Bonna Bremu?
We just had an argument before we started because I thought it was Bonna Bremu.
Yeah.
This is how little either of us know about this person.
Well, this Bonna Bremu appears in a deleted scene from Revenge of the Sith. That's it.
A very short deleted scene.
And also, she also appears in some dreams of Tim's every night.
That's the only reason we're talking about Bonna Bremu.
Oh, yeah.
My love.
My name is Loyalist Committee Chris.
Wow.
That's good.
That's bad.
I love that name.
To my right is Yorna Daval.
That's right.
But he don't have, you know, six breasts. Used to.
What are you trying to say?
Mama. And I'm combining Matt and Tim's.
Uh-oh.
All right.
This is a quote. Someone must have told them about my little maneuver at the Battle of Timnab. Yeah, just say Timnab.
Timnab. That's pretty good. It's creative.
It is. Dave did it for me.
A for effort, B for delivery.
Timnab.
Yes.
You're going to give some facts about Bonna Bremu?
Oh, yeah. Bonna Bremu, she's in a 1 minute deleted scene from Revenge of the Sith, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. But she is a human senator from the planet. I'm probably going to butcher this. Humbarine or Humbarin? Humbarin. Humbering. Well, so
that's a planet. I mean, they seem to recycle the planets. Everybody's from Corellia.
Yeah. Gonna make a Corellia comment. You're right.
Yeah, at least they've come up with a new planet. It's a new planet.
Yeah.
And unfortunately her scene doesn't actually truly exist in canon, so so much for that planet.
All right.
This is true. Yeah, she's from this. It's a core world. I'm sure one of those ways that I've pronounced it is probably the correct way. It's a core world, and it's similar to Coruscant, and it's its entire surface is covered by one full city. Hmm. So, but it's not as big as Coruscant. It's a smaller planet, but similar in that way. Now this planet was devastated by an attack by General Grievous and was left almost completely uninhabited by the end of the Clone Wars. So pretty much the entire population of this planet was destroyed during the Clone Wars, except for Bonna Bremu.
Of course.
She needs to live on.
She's like Superman. She's the last daughter of...
Yep.
What's it called?
Humbarine.
Humbarine.
Is this planet ever on the cartoon?
No. We have yet to see this planet. It would be kind of neat if they show that battle that General Grievous bombards. It would be kind of a neat storyline. So, you know, if anybody out there is listening on the Clone Wars world, let's make that happen.
It seems this is what that cartoon would be good for. Like, I don't watch the cartoon. You guys like the cartoon. Anytime I flip by it just seems like a bunch of people standing around talking.
Clones. Yep.
Yeah, like this is like a chance to you want to, it's called the expanded universe. You have a chance to expand the universe here. Let's see it.
Yeah.
Especially if it's her.
I mean, they have showed planet-wide battles in previous episodes, but yeah, that's not the norm. It's like if there's a 22 episode story or 22 episode season, maybe four or five of those episodes will have like a really big epic battle on them.
And the other 18 of them talking about it.
You know, that was a great battle. Yes, it was.
So you're saying 4 out of 22 are worth watching and the others are not?
Well, four out of the 22 have these gigantic epic battles where some of them are you know, person-to-person battles. There's always, I should say, that in most episodes there is some sort of physical conflict. But in terms of like a wide battle scene, you don't see that as much as perhaps we'd want to.
I see.
Now, following the bombardment and the near total decimation of her entire planet, Brimu, she remained in the Senate. I guess they just let her stay there because I guess the planet still existed, but the population was negligible. So as a result, she lost a lot of her influence. Like, she doesn't have too many constituents or anything. Well, the planet doesn't have much power.
I was going to imagine she represents herself as opposed to entire. Yeah, that's pretty crummy. I mean, I guess that's politically nice to, you know, recognize the last of her world. But really, what pull is she going to have? What argument could she make on behalf of anyone other than herself?
Exactly. I think it's more of a symbolic gesture. You know, oh, your whole planet's gone. We're not going to take this away from you, too. So
she's like almost like a martyr for the Clone Wars. Like her people. Is she truly? Are you exaggerating? Is she actually the only one left? Or is
I'm exaggerating a little bit. There are some people that have survived, but you know, let's say her planet had 100 million people on it, mm-hmm. and 99% of those people were wiped out. That leaves us with a million people. That's not a tiny amount, but if you're covering an entire planet surface, a million isn't a whole lot.
Okay.
Yeah, considering there's like, you know, the closest planet probably has numbers in the billions. So right then, yeah. her closest neighbor already makes her look insignificant.
And I think I read somewhere that the Death Star had like 55 million people on it when it was blown up. So
So she's like, in her planet, they're like the Rhode Island of the galaxy. Like, they have people.
Yeah, kind of.
They get an argument, but nobody really gives a shit. So just listen to them and be polite and dismiss them.
Everybody's arguing, and then you hear her go, I think we, and then they just keep talking over her.
That's probably the beauty of it all. Even though she has like zero representation in numbers, she probably never shuts the fuck up when they're arguing about something. And they're like, ah, God, why did we let her stay? She always has to open her freaking yap about everything.
Well, I mean, that's pretty much her story. Other than what we see in episode or what we see on the DVDs, if you go to the special features of episode 3, there are two scenes on there that basically start the roots of the rebellion and the dissent within the Republic. And I guess these all take place prior to the Palpatine becoming the Emperor, but there was a meetup of a bunch of senators to talk about having a petition and a delegation to try to have Palpatine relinquish his powers since the war is ending and his emergency powers are no longer necessary. They had a delegation of 2,000 who signed a petition of 2,000, which I guess that's the 2,000 systems, perhaps in the Republic. And she was one of the people that was one of the charter members, one of the first signers of this petition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, ask you about that petition because I watched the scenes and she's in one of the two scenes, and I didn't understand what they were talking about.
Basically, they were really trying to maintain democracy and not put the galaxy under a dictatorship, which is actually what happened, as we see in the original trilogy. You know, the it's a totalitarian government, really. Mm-hmm. And actually they talk about the dissolving the Senate, which we hear about in episode 4, but that's like 20 years later. But mm-hmm. they start talking about their fears of this and losing the democracy that they felt like they had prior to the Clone Wars.
Yeah, I saw the Lucas introduction of the scenes, and he said there was supposed to be a whole subplot with Padme that was the starts of the Rebel Alliance, and it was kind of cool that they we're going to include that, I guess. But then it turned out to be more politics and was a lot like episode one. So even though those scenes were actually kind of neat to watch, and it actually, I thought, gave more depth to Jimmy Smits's character because it gave him something to do finally.
Yeah.
But it was probably still a good cut because it's still just six people in a room talking about politics, which is one of the reasons why episode one was so bad.
Well, that's, you know, that's far different from 600 people in a room talking about politics. So, like we got the first one. Now, this this 2000 thing, we've heard that before. Wasn't Senator Greblips part of that or something?
He was, yes. I was just going to say, on the petition, you know, there were several people that we've heard of that have signed. I looked over a list of a lot of the signers, and some of them are like, just I don't recognize them. They're probably from books and comics and stuff. But the petition was signed by Padme, Mon Mothma, who we see in the scene, Bail Organa, who we see in the scene, a couple other senators. They have names, but I didn't pay attention to what their names were that they were in those scenes. But yes, Senator Greppleeps, the ET alien, was one of the signers of the petition, as was Jar Jar.
Oh, good. He'll sign anything you put in front of him, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's got to bully him into it.
When I looked at that list, some of them were like executed or arrested or whatever. And I guess the emperor looked at this as being traitorous to sign, to have this petition or to deliver this petition to him. So a lot of these people were arrested or executed. Greppleeps was arrested. We don't know what happened to him. We can assume that he's probably been executed somewhere. But Banna Bremu, her fate has not been written. We don't know what happens to her.
Well, her beginning technically doesn't exist, so I don't know. Yeah, I'm not sure how I feel about that.
She's all middle, and there's not much there.
Yeah, and in that scene, she does have a couple of lines. She's one of the ones that is Padme's trying to convince them that they should involve the Jedi, and she wants to basically tell Anakin. And she's one of the ones that's saying, no, like, you can't involve them. It's not a bad scene, but, I mean, it's still a good cut, but...
I haven't seen it.
Seriously?
No.
You haven't watched that?
I saw it.
Oh, I was going to say.
For people who don't have the DVDs, they're screwed, you know?
Is that on the Blu-ray?
No, I think it's just on the special edition DVD.
Is it? Oh, I... Hmm. Yeah. I mean, so there's stuff on the DVD that they didn't put on a Blu-ray? That's kind of what... That is weird.
That's what it said online. Now, that could be wrong. Because I read that online, I was like, where the hell am I going to find this? And it said something about being on the special editions of the DVDs. Never mentioned the Blu-ray, so I went right to the DVDs and never looked on the Blu-ray.
Right. It might be, but who the hell knows?
I didn't need to have that scene in, like, high def, crystal clear.
Some kind of Easter egg.
Yeah, I didn't need to see that in all of its glory.
I think Tim does.
I watched it. I refreshed my memory, and I watched it on YouTube right before we did the recording, just to refresh my memory as to, because I probably haven't seen that scene probably since the DVD came out. I probably watched that scene once or twice when the DVD came out, and I haven't gone back.
Well, there you go. You can watch.
Listening,
watch it on YouTube. That's where you find it.
Yeah. Right.
And in terms of the character, that's all I got. I just have some behind the scenes information. Now, the actress who plays this is a very lovely Chinese actress by the name of Bai Ling, who I have always, even before she was involved with Star Wars, I have always had a thing for this chick.
Yeah,
I love her.
I had to agree with that. I had a thing for her after The Crow.
Yeah, The Crow. The Crow and Red Corner were the first two movies I saw her in. Red Corner, she's pretty conservative in how she's dressed, but yeah, she is something else in The Crow. Yeah, and we also see her in other movies, like she was in Wild Wild West with Will Smith, Sky Captain, and she was on a super hot episode of Lost.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
I think it was in the final season. It was I think it had to do with Matthew Fox. It was like a flashback of him going, and I think he was in an opium den, and I can't remember what was going on in it, but she helped him get his little like Chinese symbol tattoos and that sort of stuff. But yeah, she was on an episode of Lost, and she is sexy.
Tim, have you ever seen her in person?
Have I? Oh yeah. We Chris and I went to Celebration 3 in Indianapolis, And she was a guest at this thing. This is before it was even announced that her scene was deleted from episode 3. So she was there as a full-fledged guest.
I thought you were going to say before scene had been filmed, which would be really weird.
But so we get there, and I, the whole ride over there, I'm sure I'm telling, oh man, Bai Ling. Oh my God, Bai Ling. I was super excited that she was going to be there.
Every time that we had something planned, here was how you did it. Hey, Timmy, hungry? Yeah, let's get something to eat. But on the way to get some food, would you mind if we just walked past Bai Ling's table? Every time we did something, we had to go by her table every goddamn time.
And the thing is her table was so out of the way. It was the far back corner of the auditorium. It was never on the way to anything. If I had to go to the bathroom, I had to walk 600 yards out of my way to walk by a table, but I would walk by that table.
You honestly just glued wherever. If I lost you, I knew where you were at.
You knew where you'd walk by eventually. That's for sure. Yeah.
Now I don't know if you remember this, but because we got there the day before the show and we were out somewhere. It was either at like Steak and Shake or Hard Times Cafe, the chili restaurant that was there in Indianapolis. And I remember we were sitting there eating, and I looked up and she was across the street. And I was like,
I was gonna say, there's no way you ran into her in a Steak and Shake.
No.
Maybe a Carl's Jr., but not a Steak and Shake.
But yeah, I just remember sitting there and looking up and seeing her like across the street, and I was like, oh my God, my pants.
Jesus.
That's all you heard about. I was seeing her every day. You wanted to go over and see her
every day. I saw her. I normally don't get signed photos. It's normally just my poster, and that's it. But I remember on that third day, I'm like, I got to get a picture. So I went over there and I got my picture, and I got a picture taken with her. I have to find that somewhere. She is very petite.
I can't believe you had to find it. I thought you'd have that at the ready. At a moment's notice.
I'll have to look and see if I can find that picture of that Chris took of the two of us together.
You're just saying that. You know exactly where it is. You know what frame it's in. What part?
I got a blown up to a 30x40, and it's currently hanging in my office at work.
Had she been in Playboy at this point when you met her yet, or did that happen afterwards?
It was announced that she was going to be in Playboy. And she actually said, I think in an interview, she thought that the reason that her scene was deleted was because of this Playboy spread. Cause she did do a Star Wars themed Playboy spread, about a month before the movie came out. It was in between Celebration 3 and the release of Sith that this issue of Playboy came out, and I bought it. Of course, I still have it.
You didn't even need to state that. Everyone assumed that at this point.
Two copies, one to use, one to read.
That's right. One is sealed. The other one is also sealed.
Sealed.
No, and it actually was a really good spread. I mean, the girl's a knockout. But yeah, she claimed that she thought that it was deleted because of this Playboy spread, but Lucasfilm has put out an official statement saying that the decision to delete it had taken place a year ahead of time before this Playboy thing. So they claim that the Playboy thing had no bearing on the decision to cut that scene.
Yeah, I saw that too. And I saw that stuff and about that she thought it was because of the Playboy thing. But I looked at I did a search for the cover of the Playboy because I was interested how it would mention Star Wars. And in the picture, she's holding a lightsaber, and it actually says the word Star Wars on the Playboy cover, and it says something like the sexy alien from Star Wars.
It was like, yeah, something like a naked Jedi, I think, even though she's not wasn't a Jedi, but
yeah. Now how could they get away with that? Like,
leave
without
it to Tim to argue inaccuracies of Star Wars versus naked Bai Ling.
I guess you can say the word Jedi. You can say the words Star Wars in articles and on covers of magazines, but they weren't using any copywritten logos or anything like that.
No. Okay.
So I guess it was a fair use, I guess is what, how the argument you could use for that.
Well, I believe the Lucasfilm, you know, press release that this was not cut because of the Playboy thing. I don't think it was cut because it was like risque. I think it was cut because it was boring.
Yeah. Yeah. It just, I mean, if you watch Revenge of the Sith, it's hard to figure out where they would edit these in. I mean, who knows? Maybe one day down the road, maybe when they, if they put out the 3D release of it, maybe we'll see Bailing in 3D.
So is this right? I wanted to look up what you're talking about. It was a June issue of Playboy?
Yeah.
I think it was the May or June dated issue of 2005.
Sith was released in June, wasn't it? Or
May?
It's probably Memorial, like for the Memorial Day.
Oh, okay. So the magazine is probably actually on the shelves in May because they always seem to come out early. Yeah, that doesn't, they're not going to edit that quick on that wide of a release. I mean, this thing was released like worldwide everywhere. That's a lot of that's a lot of work in a very short amount of time.
So you believe the Lucasfilm?
Yeah, I do. Because that's like I said, I just don't see that being logistically possible. Forget about the whole, you know, business aspect of it.
Yeah. So and you guys got her on your poster.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you this is another person that's not in Star Wars that you have on your poster.
Well, this person is actually in Star Wars rather than the other girl.
She's more in Star Wars than that person, that's for sure.
She was nowhere even near Star Wars the other way.
Yeah.
All right.
14... That other girl never even saw Star Wars.
That's true. Exactly.
Well, Bonna Brimu, 14.2 seconds is what she clocks in at. But really, she clocks in at zero.
All depends on what you're watching.
Negative 14.2 seconds.
Which, I think I actually know the answer to this. I don't think it's that actually hard to answer now that I think about it. I was going to say, which one is more obscure now? Her for never having been in it or Lav Sivak for being in it and then taken out?
I was thinking about that too because this is like, I was trying to, like, and we're doing this, I'm always trying to, in my head, rank them. Like, who's the most obscure we've done? I think this is more obscure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, well, I don't know. Because Bonna Brimu, I have the novelization for Sith, but I didn't go back to see if they name her by name. But I know that at least her scene appears in the book, whereas I don't know, and I know that Lak Sivrek's scene appears in the novelization, but I don't know if he's mentioned by description at all in the original Star Wars novelization. So I guess we would have to go to the novelization and see how they may be described to sort of figure out who is the more obscure.
I'm just basing it on us. Like we're like old dudes at this point, and I assume a lot of the people that listen to the show are in our demographic.
I feel older every recording session because I think Dave has now mentioned that in the past 17 episodes. We're all old.
Old.
One time Dave said, you know, pretty soon Matt's going to die. So yeah.
And of all of us that are old, Matt's the oldest. Let's just point that out, too.
That is true.
So there will be a time when we do the show and Matt won't be around anymore because he won't be able to work technology because he's so old.
He'll be hooked up to his iron lung and he won't be able to get to the computer. Anyway, since we're middle-aged... we remember Lak Sivrek because we saw him in the friggin' movie when we were, you know, under 10 years old. Nobody sees this chick unless they're really, really digging on the stupid DVDs. I mean, I get these DVDs. I don't watch all the crap on it.
Right.
And this is the kind of crap that most people would be like, no, I'm not watching another, political scene. So to me, she's more obscure because...
And Lak Sivrek has an action figure.
I'm surprised you haven't made one of her, Tim.
Blow up doll one.
Just get an old Crow action figure and paint her dress purple.
Yeah. Here we go.
I remember her in, I guess it was the Crank sequel.
Oh, yeah.
Because Chris and I always end up, I mean, I don't go to the movies nearly as much as I used to, but it seems like Chris and I see every stinking Jason Statham movie the weekend it comes out.
Right.
I've seen a few of those with you guys. I saw Transporter 1 and 2, I think, with both of you guys.
And I don't even like Jason Statham. When those movies comes out, Chris is like, let's go see Crank. And I go, all right. And they're good. And I remember her in Crank 2, like double machine gun blasting away. And I remember Chris telling me, she's in Star Wars. We met her, and I'm just like, she's not in Star Wars. What are you talking about? Oh, well. I guess
I'm comes, and August comes Expendables, too. Do you know who's in that, Dave?
Chuck Norris.
And?
Jason Statham. We saw Expendables 1. Yes, opening, we did. Opening way. Well, it's Stallone.
Yeah, right.
Stallone Club for Men.
Filing is one of the worst movies I've ever seen, although she seems to be in a lot of bad movies looking at her IMDb page. But when our friend Dave from a couple other podcasts, when we did one about bad movie reviews called Cutting Room Floor, we reviewed a movie called The Gene Generation, and she was just god-awful in that. Well, she was – I take that back. I shouldn't just narrow her down. That was just a god-awful movie, period.
Hmm. Is it like a straight-to-DVD kind of thing?
Probably. I mean, it may have had a release, but I seriously doubt it.
Right.
But it's like, apart from it being so bad, the story is like even worse. It's like, I know nothing about genetics or medicine, and even I knew the shit they were talking about was wrong.
That is bad.
Yep.
Yeah, she's very prolific in her straight to cable or DVD films. Her quality films are few and far between.
Hey, Tim.
Yes.
If you could spend a weekend at the ranch with Harrison Ford, Lucas, Mark Hamill, Carrie Fisher, or 5 minutes with Bai Ling, what'd you do?
Anything in the 5 minutes, anything goes?
Anything goes, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, Bai Ling. Hands down. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love Harrison Ford and Lucas and all those guys, but nah.
But after 4 minutes and 18 seconds, what are you going to do?
Cuddle. <funny. laughs> Afterglow.
Get her to sign you the rest of your Star Wars stuff.
Hey. Yeah. She has a really huge signature.
She does.
It like takes up like 90% of the poster. She's done some great stuff, and we'll have to post it. She was on, it was like something like Celebrity Singers or Can They Sing?
That is going to be part of this show. Trust me. So,
Okay. I won't talk about that. I'll let
you can.
About
go
that.
Ahead. It's fine.
Oh my God. She sang Like a Virgin on this show. She sang, I think, two songs. It's so ridiculous. It's so ridiculous how horrible it is. Like people laugh about like William Hung and the Chocolate Rain dude. They got nothing on her.
Yeah, I saw that she was on there singing I Touch Myself.
Yep.
And there was some she has like a recording career now. She's like Bonnie Peace, except Bonnie Peace seems like she can sing.
I'll have to look for these Bai Ling recording.
I haven't heard any of Bonnie Peace's stuff, so I don't, I'm not sure. But
well, to be fair, I did actually send an email to Bai Ling's management or whatever you want to call it, inviting her on, and didn't hear back. So she could maybe still, you know, contact us and set something up with Tim. You know, a little dating
game. It would be a Chris Farley type interview. She is a pretty interesting thing. We're not going to go into her story, but if you guys go to her Wikipedia page or her IMDb fact page, she's had a really interesting life. She's definitely not a boring person by any means. Some of her movies are boring, but her real life is actually far more interesting than a lot of her movies are.
Yeah, so she said in some cases a pretty sad life, and in other cases a strange look at the world. I think she thinks she's from the moon.
Wow, really?
Really?
Yeah, I saw a thing that she said, like, she thinks she's from the moon, and when she sees the moon, she sees her dead grandmother on the moon looking down at her. There's something going on with the moon.
That's Jackie Gleason.
they look so much alike.
that was best.
Hello,
Annie. Anyway, that's all I got.
Oh, okay, Matt, is your website anything?
Well, I am going to. She has her fan site, and there's some. You know, she's in a lot of those men's sites like Maxim and Guzm and whatnot. That, you know, she's on a hot list. But I have to. Everyone has to see what we were just talking about. Not 5 minutes ago, I am going to post a link to her YouTube clip of her rendition of "I Touch Myself" because it is just what we describe. We barely even described it because I think it might be in a sense indescribable. So you'll have to see it for yourself.
That you have to check that out.
Yep,
it's fantastic.
And just watch it, Tim. Don't do what the video's, you know, song's saying, all right?
Too late.
Yeah. It's a song title. They're not instructions.
Yes, that's right.
Well,
Chris.
Is it
what, Chris?
Time?
Time for what, Chris?
Trivia!
I guess.
Hey! Violent Pursuit.
It's time for Imperial Pursuit.
Toot.
And a quick check of the scores as Chris still in last with -3.
Aw.
Tim in third place with +3.
Yay!
I'm in second with 8. And then Matt with 10.
Woohoo!
So, Chris.
Yes.
Are you ready?
I am ready.
Okay. Your question is coming from the category Jabba the Hutt.
Jabba the Hutt.
Still my favorite.
You are quick on those things, man. Like, you don't know the category. You get right. You're quicker than that than like Tim with a biling video.
I just got that. It's true.
I got -3.
-3.
Like, I'm trying to think what questions
is
are my.
Is that Tim with a biling video?
That is me with a biling video. And then,
everybody's almost done. Oh, God.
That's not coming from my mouth.
Oh. Oh, my God.
We've earned our explicit rating on this
yeah,
one.
Yeah, thanks.
How many questions about Jabba? Like, what do you want to know? Like,
what do you want me to ask you a question before you bet?
I'll see if I get 3. I bet. You know what? I'll bet 4.
You're going for positive numbers.
Yeah, if I get it right, I'll have 1.
That is correct.
If I get it wrong, I'll have less than that.
All right, here's your question for 4 points and positive numbers.
Yes.
In Return of the Jedi, Jabba said to Han Solo that he may have been a good smuggler before, but now he was what?
Wow. -7. But now he's...
He may have been a good smuggler before, but now he was blank.
I am just shaking my head. Back and forth. Shake my head back and forth. I want to say, like, what's that poop curse word? Ponta booter? Fodder?
What was the first one you said?
Ponta booter fodder?
That sounds like an obscure character we'll be doing when we're almost out of characters. Today we're talking about Ponta booter fodder. Ponta booter fodder appears in the novelization of something.
Yeah. I have no idea.
Well, say something.
Something. But now you're dead.
Sorry.
I have no idea.
You may have been a good smuggler before, but now you're...
But now you're screwed. But now you're fucked. I have no idea. That's why I hear it. Like, oh, yeah.
Wait, I need an answer.
Whatever the curse word for poop is in Star Wars.
Whatever the curse word for
poop. Isn't it like poo-da?
Well, I've heard them say poo-doo. That's what like...
I'll use that.
Sebulba says after he loses the race in episode 1.
I'll use that.
That's your answer?
Yeah. That's wrong.
I hear somebody laughing.
We now command the poodle.
There you go.
And there's Tim laughing in the background. I don't...
What is your final answer?
This.
We now command the poodle.
Bantha poodle.
Your final answer is Bantha poodle. Or Bantha.
I have no idea. That's what I'm saying. Bantha poodoo.
All right. The correct answer in the book is Bantha fodder.
Oh, my God.
I am going to accept.
You sound like Ren when he got excited on Ren and Stimpy.
That was right all along. I said whatever the
poop
is.
You said fodder before.
Fodder, poodoo.
You said it before. You do this every time. You go, I don't know. And then say the answer.
And I say the right answer.
Yeah.
He said every word, made up word, not in the English language. So, of course, you got it.
That is true.
So, I won?
I don't know how the other fellas feel.
No, that's fine. Because he's going to blow it next round anyway.
Yeah, give it to him.
You're in positive numbers. Are you happy?
I am thrilled.
Okay. Well, that means that it is Tim's turn.
Yeah.
Tim, are you ready?
Yep.
Your category is Bilings Area.
Area.
Your category is R2-D2.
Ooh. R2-D2.
I'm going to have to go 3, because you never know where they could go with these questions.
Okay. Let's see. Here is your question. In A New Hope, what did Luke ask R2-D2 to repair on his ship during the assault on the Death Star?
Oh, jeez.
Excuse me.
Rear deflector shields? That's wrong, I think, but... that's my answer. I can't think of what else. I remember the scene, but I can't remember what else he had him fix.
Maybe it was a Pontapuda bolt or something. Just say a bunch of words. You'll come across it eventually.
Puda fodder, Bantha, Rancor. Dung.
What's your final answer?
I'm going to say rear deflector shields.
That is incorrect. He tells him to lock the stabilizer down.
Oh, yeah, he does say, see if you can lock it down. Yeah.
Chris, you know what that means?
Does that mean I'm beating Tim?
It means you're in third place?
No way.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I guess I'm at 0 now.
Tim's at 0.
That's right. Bantha Poodle Fodder Poodle Poopy.
What are you, Bill Cosby now?
Put pop.
Oh. Poodoo pop. Doug, get on that.
Matt, your category is Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Mm. Old or young? You just don't know.
Yeah, I know. So, in case it's a prequel, I'm only going to go 2.
You don't know that.
I know, that's why I said I'm going to go 2.
I was wrong.
No. He actually was right.
That's awesome.
In Attack of the Clones.
Ah, okay.
Obi-Wan told Anakin in an elevator that he hadn't seen him this tense since they fell into a nest of what?
Oh, man. Oh, something stupid, probably.
What?
A nest of...
Relax.
I don't know. Try to think... What's a weird name Chris has used in the past that we didn't know what it was? Claudites or something? Claudite is, I think, what Zamweasel is. You know, I don't know the answer anyway, so I'll just stick with Claudites and be wrong so we can move on.
All right. Claudites is incorrect. It was a nest of Gundarks.
Oh, okay.
That's the first time we've used that one.
Oh, don't worry.
Hey, isn't that what Han Solo said he was strong enough to pull the ears off of? So that's another callback to the original trilogy?
Yes, it is.
Wow, is there anything original in the prequels?
Possibly.
And didn't they use an elevator in the original trilogy?
That's right, yeah. And wasn't Obi-Wan in that too? In both of those sets?
All right. That's 3 wrong answers. No, that's not. Chris.
Yeah. No, yeah, that's right.
How dare you, son of a bitch.
You have the chance to be the only correct panelist.
That's right. I'm coming back.
You're coming back. You're in third place.
I'm coming back to negatives. Dave?
Yes.
even shaking. Your category is...
Tim's watching a Biling video again.
This is an awesome category.
I can't go after that.
All right, hold on. Your category is...
Han Solo. I'm captain of the Millennium Falcon.
All right.
What if the question is, what is he captain of?
Yeah. Right now, without betting anything, Matt and I are tied for first.
There it is.
We both have...
Oh, hey, really?
Yeah, we both
have...
Okay.
So, I'm going to bet... I love Han Solo. Who doesn't love Han Solo? I'm gonna bet four.
Ooh. I'm gonna bet four.
One.
4 points. Han Solo, second coolest character in Star Wars.
I know.
All right. What did the Ewok near Han Solo do while 3PO acted out the first two Star Wars films in Ewokese?
How the hell is that a Han Solo question?
Yeah. What did he just happened to be there. But
near Han Solo do while 3PO was acting out the first two Star Wars films in Ewokese?
That's like saying Han Solo is from Corellia. Who is the president of Corellia?
I love you.
That's one of your most used sound effects.
I love
effects.
That one.
All right. I think I know this. I can picture it in my
Great
head.
Great kid! Don't get cocky!
All right. The Ewok rested his head on him.
This is ridiculous.
It was like, well, it was ridiculous. It was like they were listening to the story. It was like story time, and they were all gathering around him because now they liked him, and they were listening to how heroic he was, and they were nuzzling up to him, and he was uncomfortable with it. But I'm going to say rested its head on Han.
What are you talking about?
So you're saying rested head on Han?
Yes.
Here's what it says here.
Mm-hmm.
It's like two answers.
Two answers.
Do you want to try to think of something else real fast? There's two answers. It's a two part. I guess he does two things to Han.
Oh, really?
I'll give you that. I'll give you another chance to think of two things.
What?
Is what I said part of the answer? You can't tell me that.
No. I'll have the judges decide if what you said matches this.
All right, rest their head on him while they're listening to the story, and at the end they all hug him.
Here's what it says.
Okay.
The Ewok cuddles Han and purrs.
Oh, well.
Yeah. Ow! I would accept that one.
Yeah, I'll take it. I need some competition in this damn trivia for once.
Done. Okay.
All right, that's the second show in a row I had to get the judge's call on that.
Yahoo!
All right.
There you go.
That means the scores are like this. Chris, you listening?
I'm listening.
Tim's in last with 0.
What?
Then you with 1.
Yahoo!
Then Matt with 8.
I love you.
And then me with 12.
I know.
All right. So
this is
every single one of us changed positions.
This has been the most unpredictable round of trivia we've done yet.
It really has. Yeah. I mean, I was in the negative teens, if that's such a word.
Your lowest score looks to me like -8.
I was in double digits.
Okay. No, because you were getting pretty low, and then Mark from Jedi News.
That's right.
Answered a 5-point question for you, and he got you rolling.
Mark,
I love you.
That's how I feel. Well, Tim, are you done?
Done.
We'd like to thank you for listening to our Star Wars character discussion about Bana Breamu.
Yeah, it was a long discussion about Bana Breamu.
Tim's stalkering of Biling.
Better her than you. We had that discussion earlier.
Join us next time when we discuss the Minok.
Thanks for listening to Star Wars in Character. Star Wars in Character is part of the NeoZaz.com network of podcasts. For more great podcasts and original entertainment, please visit www.neozaz.com. Star Wars in Character is not affiliated with nor endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or 20th Century Fox. Star Wars and all Star Wars universe characters, places, or Star Wars related items are the copyright of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders. Visit www.swic.neozaz.com for the latest Star Wars in Character episodes and information.
I'm ready for Bana Brimu. Tim, are you doing this naked or no?
I've stripped down.
I knew you would.
I've oiled up.
Bye, Ling.
Oiled up.
Listening.
Why am I picturing this in my head?
Yeah, that's not good.
Wait.
I'm oiled up, so we better get the party started.
I'm oiled up. I'm oiled.
Oh, I love it when the opener is just right there in front of me. I don't have to search for it or anything.
You just made Nat's life so much easier.
I know, it does. It's like making a note right now.
Note, Tim
oiled up.
Damn it.